Gracious Heavenly Father, blessed you once again, Father, Lord, for your grace, for your goodness, Lord, for your faithfulness to the promise of thy word. How blessed we are, the people today, even as we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, having things, O Lord, in common, because, Lord, we are a family of God. And all that you have done for us, Father, is to bring about, Lord, a matured body in Christ Jesus. To bring about, Lord, a matured church and a perfect church that waits for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we thank you, Lord. It is your Spirit in us that lead us. And when you lead us, Lord, you lead us according to thy word. And surely, Lord, as your Spirit moves, as your Spirit begins to speak, and he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God said. And truly, Lord, that word, the words, Lord, of that are written, Lord, in the last book of your Holy Scripture, rings in our hearts, rings in our spirit, Lord, to keep us in the way, to take heed to what you say in this last day. We must come to the place, Father, we know, to be overcomers, to overcome, Lord, our self-interest, to overcome our weakness, Lord, in this life. The things, Lord, that Satan will put across our pathway, or in our pathway, Lord, as we journey with Jesus Christ. To try, Lord, to pull us away from the love of God, from the truth of God, and bring us away from the light into darkness, Lord. But we thank the Lord, and we thank you, Father, that you've always been with us, and your promise you have kept all these years in our life. The Lord, you will not leave us comfortless. You will be with us to the end of these ages of mankind, and you watch over us. We are thankful, Father, then today, for all that you have done for us, Lord. Let us all here be grateful, Father, in our heart to praise you and to thank you for all these wonderful benefits that you have so graciously, Lord, granted us. Even now, Father, as you approach thy word, how blessed the people we are, that we have a place, Lord, we can gather. We have a nation, Lord, where we can fully worship you. We commit over those in other places that may not have a place together. They have to gather under, perhaps under a tree, or in the broken shed, Lord, or an incomplete building. When rains come, Lord, they'll all be dripping, wet. And we pray that you bless them even nevertheless, in simplicity as together, amen, that their faith continue, Lord, to be strengthened. And the Lord, you bless them even as much, Lord, Lord, as you bless us. And how privileged are the poor, Lord, when they are reached in the things of God. So we commit all them to you this morning, as even as you approach thy word, that you open our hearts to the hearing of it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and let us go to where we have left off last week. Alright. Genesis. And we're now on to chapter 22. We're going to have 22, 23, and 24. Covering these three chapters today. The first, we want to talk about the record that Abraham was commanded by God to offer to Isaac. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. and offer him therefore a burnt offering unto one of the mountains which I would tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and take two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and cleft the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father? And Abraham said, Here am I, my son. Isaac said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham laid an altar there, and built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now here is a very wonderful story we all know so well. But you know one thing about the scripture here is, as we studied, with the beginning of the calling of Abraham, you notice one thing. God is wanting to show us the types and the shadows in the life of this man. What transpired? Using Abraham, then later on, the son, you know, God was reflecting himself. Him and his only begotten son. And sometime in the morning you read many times, you know, when I go back and listen to what I have done, the first time I taught this. And then I begin to study the word again, I look a little closely, you know, spending some hours, a day or two. And then I begin to see things that I did not see before. And I believe that there is something which God in this end time, as we move in the journey of God, the thing is unfold, and we see a better picture of the pattern that was shown to us in the scripture. Things that were dealt with to Abraham and his calling. Just like God showed to Moses the pattern on the mount regarding the tabernacle. You see, it's the thing that sometimes, what honestly I must say this, and every one of us who have been in denomination would know. When we are in denomination, that's all that we go to church, we hear and we go home. You know, many of us don't basically study the scriptures. And even here in this fellowship, many of us don't even take the Bible and spend a little time and look at it. You know. And here was this man that came sending me emails for the last couple of weeks now. And trying to get me to see the Godhead according to his understanding. And he will bring me a few verses here, what Brother Abraham said, and so on. You know. And he said, I agree with you, Brother Gunn, about what you wrote in the book called the Logos. But there's one thing I cannot agree with you. Is that you do not believe that when Jesus was born, he was already God. So I had to discuss with him to let him to see that this concept was actually a Roman Catholic teaching. That the Bible was misinterpreted because it was interpreted by Gentile minds. It was interpreted in the past by Caucasian mind. The Bible, the people who really ought to know the scripture would be the Jew. For the oracle was first given to them. But when the gospel was rejected, it went to the Gentile. It went where? Towards Europe. Is that right? Corinthia, Laodicea, all these places were up there in Europe. And so with all that Gentile mind, with all the paganistic mind, with all that, Caucasian mind, the word were interpreted by them after the pre-Nicene father passed away. All the apostolic father passed away. Then came the Nicene council. That's when, you know, all this, they were not Jew. And they were giving the Godhead, first of all, an interpretation, chopping him into three pieces, some even chopping into two pieces. You see. And you know, I told his brother, I said, you take the Bible that way, and you make baby Jesus. Oh, he said, because Brother Abraham said so. Brother Abraham said, Jehovah, baby Jehovah, child, a boy Jesus, Jehovah, you know. I said, yeah, we can say that. But we need to understand that when you can say many things, you can say, we try to tell people that Jesus is God, but then you need to understand how you describe things. We can say Jesus is God today, now, isn't it? But when you can look back at the time when Jesus was born, you know, I say if you were to say Jesus as a baby was Jehovah, was God, then you would have to say that when he was in Mary's womb, when this egg was fertilized, and it split into two cells, into four cells, beginning from there, it must be God. And God is in human cell. Now you are saying that the human cell is God. You know, I said, you are looking at it. I said, and then I began to give him, I said, look, if you want to know the truth, go back to the Old Testament. The pattern that was shown to Moses on the Mount. Then you will understand. You see, he gave Malachi chapter 3 verse 1. And he said, Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger before thy face. Is that right? Huh? And then the messenger, or the angel that comes with whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. He referred that by quoting a man in the book that you gave it to me, by saying that it was fulfilled when Jesus, as an age about 12, was in the temple. You understand what I'm saying? He was suddenly in the temple. That's why he was in the temple. I said, brother, that's where you make a mistake. I said, what did God show to Moses on the Mount? Was it not when he showed to Moses on the Mount, was it not the tabernacle? And Moses built that tabernacle. It was a temple built with hands. They got the raw material together. Then they put it up, right? But when they put it up, the Spirit of God did not come there. The Shekinah world did not tabernacle there when this building was being set up. It was until everything was completed. Is that alright? Now everything was completed. That is to say, the building now is complete, matured, perfect. Then the Shekinah glory of God came into the temple. Is that right? You remember? We studied that. I said exactly the same. When God was building, as the Bible said, a tabernacle made without hands, a body has thou prepared for me. In the womb of Mary was raw material. Began to form. Is that right? Then came out as a baby. But they're still not perfect. That little child grew, learning in wisdom. Then come to that stage when he was matured now, complete, standing in the water of River Jordan. That's when the Bible said, I saw the Spirit came down. And God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am now pleased to dwell in. And that's when the Spirit of the Shekinah glory, which is the Word of God, came and tabernacled in the flesh. A building made with our hands. I think if you can see the pattern in the Old Testament, then you can see it. And I tell you one thing, you know, brothers and sisters, I can say this one, that because I'm a typologist. Even before I knew about Brother Abraham's ministry, I was already learning about typologies, studying the word and how to look at typologies, how to take things and type. And then when I heard Brother Abraham first time, I said, wow, this man is a great typologist. To take things from the scriptures, touch and shadow, take things from the nature and type it. And it's only in typology and types and shadows and patterns that we understand things. Because God showed this thing even to John. White horses, red horses and black horses. Symbols of trumpets and vows and all of these things. So we need to understand it. And Lord, likewise, the same thing here. God laid this thing out beautifully. He said, now, it's after these things. Well, after all the things that have occurred before, so we will say now something about 40, 50 years now, and Isaac would have to be about, how old do you think Isaac was? Isaac would have to be about 28 and 30 years old. 28 and 30 years old. Between that time now. He's not a young man. Or a teenage boy. Where you have children's book were drawn here, a little young boy, a little young lad. He's a matured man now. You know, I was standing him around that just before the age of 30. You see. Because, you know, Jesus Christ was a type of that, Isaac. Or Isaac was a type of Christ. And Jesus Christ, the antitype. Alright? And God began to trial Abraham. The word Tamir means to trial Abraham. And he said, now take thy son, thy only son, thy only son. After Abraham had two sons, isn't he? But now here he said, thy only son. I said, only one. The one that is promised, the one that is selected. Now you know what? God has many sons and daughters too. But God has only one son. His only son. And that is His only begotten son, Jesus Christ. We are His sons and daughters. So when the Bible said, thy only son, thou only, pointed to the one that is ordained, the one that is elected, the one that is chosen, and the one that is begotten, set aside. Okay? Whom thou love. Now here is, of course, God is reflecting Himself in Abraham. Huh? Abraham was the type of God the Father, and Isaac was the Son, Jesus Christ. Whom thou love. I mean, there's only one whom God so greatly loved. His only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And how true that really is when you see pictures like this. And take him to the land of Moriah. Moriah is somewhere around the area of Jerusalem. And offer him a burnt offering unto me. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and set his ass. You know, I don't know what goes through the mind of Abraham. You may try to speculate if you want to. And God spoke to him in an audible voice. And tell him to take his son and sacrifice and burn an offering. There was no report here that God, that Abraham argued back and, you know, had a conversation. I believe all that God said to Abraham, take it in and meditate about it. And began to reason with the word that God had given him earlier. And that's one thing about what we learn in the church. The thing that we have learned earlier, why did the Bible say you bring this thing to your remembrance? Because why, we tend to forget and we think, well, we don't think highly of it. We think lightly of it after a while. And our life can go cold. And we do whatever we want to do. That's what the Bible said, what happened to Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes after a while. Because, you know, the prophet's gone. When the prophet came again, everybody all have a good revival. And after what, they got sick of the prophet. They stoned him to death or they cast him out. They grow cold. And then the men began to do that which is right in their own eyes. And this is what we see, not only in denomination, but in the entire message church. Why? We have first of all no integrity in ourselves, how to walk. Huh? With reverence to the Word of God, with self-respect, with sincerity to God, with integrity to God, and to brother and sister in the church as a whole. You know, if the church do not have a standard, if the church do not have a church order or the order of the Word, how do we do about things, which the Bible does give it to us, and we do what we want, you know what? We don't believe in God in the first place. So Lord, I believe you, I believe your word. But the way we walk Not calling to the word of the Lord, then something is wrong. You see. That's why I disagree with many of these things that is going around. You see. That's the spirit of ecumenism that have come in from organization. Organization cannot agree among themselves. Ecumenical spirit got to come in and group everybody together. And now they're all heading back to Rome. Anything different? You know. God's word called for total separation from unbelief. We came up into the message. There were all this mess. We separate completely. We have to. Sometimes people call it the third exodus. And yet there is a spirit now to bring everybody back to anism. You know, that's terrible. And that is so true. You know, either we come to the place of perfect rest in Christ and be serious about what the message was all about in the first place. God sent Abraham with a purpose, a message to call us out from total separation of unbelief into the light of His Word. And so can we compromise? Not for me. Not one bit for me to compromise. And that's why all those early saints of God during the day of the Roman Catholic Church, they pay a price. They were all martyrs. Recant, the Catholic Church told them. Recant what? You have to believe in the system, you have to believe what they have to teach, or majority. You're watching that documentary last week, Persuasion. How people are persuaded. It's in a cultic group. We're talking about, they were showing some cultic group, even Hitler and all this. When the pressure comes, people will all conform to the major group. And you stand alone, you are dead. And that is so true. You know that, don't you? You see. And that's what happened to the disciples. They were all sort of afraid when Christ was arrested. They were all scattered. As Jesus Christ said, when God smite the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Everybody was scared. Peter was afraid. No, I was not with him. You mistaken. Oh no, we know because you are Galilean. You speak, you were with him. Everybody ran away. They were all afraid. Because the pressure of the main crowd of people, the majority. And what Jesus says is so true. If you love your soul, you will lose it. But if you lose your soul for my sake, you will gain it. If anybody loves mother and father more than you love me, you are not worthy to be my disciple. If you love your husband or wife more than you love me, you are not worthy to be my disciple. So the same goes for your children, goes for your parents, or anything, you're not worth it. And there's one important thing about knowing what love really is. A lot of people don't know what love, I'm talking about love, but talking about love in the church. You know, do not misplace charity from the agape love. There's a whole lot of difference. If you don't have this agape love of God first, towards God, nothing works. Nothing works. And that's what denomination is bringing that about. Here is where God tests Abraham. Abraham, listen. He took the word that God given him earlier on and he knew. You want me to sacrifice my son? Well, if God is testing me, I'll do what he said and see what happens when I go up tomorrow. So he rose up early in the morning and set his ass and donkey took two of his young men with him. Now there's always two. You've got to take two witnesses with you. You know, as there are two witnesses at the cross of Jesus Christ. And Isaac his son, and carved the wood for the burnt offering. And rose up and went into place. And the third day, now there was a journey made. Now we do not know whether this time when God spoke to him, whether he was in Beersheba. Now, let me show you where Beersheba is. If you have forgotten, Beersheba is here. This is Philistine. This is about the area, or this is about the area where Abraham make a covenant with Abimelech over the well thing. And this is where Beersheba is, where the well actually is. But this is where the area of Abimelech's region. Now, that's Beersheba. Abraham spent most of the time in this part. This is called a southern country. Hebron is where Abraham purchased the cave of Machpelah to bury his wife Sarah here. Alright, that's Bethlehem and that's Jerusalem. Now, at this time in chapter 22, Abraham could have still been in Beersheba. Either he spent the time here, he's usually between here and here. Now, Abraham has grown to be a very wealthy man. Thousands of cattle and sheep and many servants. He already owned much. And so all this land that he had traveled, well, actually later became his. And it belonged to his descendant. Alright? So he traveled from here to here very often. These are the areas that he dwells in. So I would believe that since already in the previous chapter the well was problem was solved here, so he has still to be in Beersheba. Alright? And so now, from here to go to Hebron, all the way up to Jerusalem, this is where Mount Moriah is. That takes about 3 days journey. Now, from Beersheba all the way to Hebron is about 40 kilometers. Roughly about 40 kilometers. And from Hebron to Jerusalem, it's about 30 kilometers. So it isn't very far. Of course, at the time they don't have cars to drive. Of course, you take an hour or two. That's about it. They have to go by donkeys and ass and camels or whatever they have. So now you only have four persons that went. Father, son, and two men. Is that right? Have you always said father, son, and two witnesses? Alright. So, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And he told the young man, you stay here, we go up. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac to carry it. Oh my, just think about it. Just remember how that Jesus got battered. Wood on his shoulder, the cross. And here was a real type. The Bible makes it so clear for us to see. And Abraham took the fire in his hand and the knife and went forth. And Isaac, while walking with Abraham, his father says, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. You know, the heart of Abraham was stirring up as you walk up the mountain. Just think about it. There's a lot of things that go through his mind. But I think, I do not believe that Abraham was a very confident man in what the word of God said to him earlier. That I'll give you a son, and this son will be the seed. Because I made a covenant with him. So what else? Huh? Do you think that Abraham for a moment doubted that God gave and God take away, and how could he take away that one when the seed is supposed to come? If he take away, he must bring it back again. That's the only reason. Huh? Isn't it? Just like King David, when God took his son away, he says, well, he's going to come back, but I can go to him. God would have to bring him up in the resurrection. And the same thing Job said, you know, when a man dies, shall he live again? Sure. You see. And so Abraham and Isaac went up together to the place and built an altar now. And he bound up Isaac. There's no resistance on Isaac's part. You see, the father and son had a long talk. Raising him up now for all these almost 20 odd years. And telling him about what God said in the covenant that made with you. You know. And Isaac is a man who believed his father. You know. You know, one of the most important things is the faith of the father. Isaac lived with his father all these years, never failed to believe the God of his father. And later on, the God of his father became his God. And so that his God was then also the God of his son. You know. That's a faith. Isaac was lovely system, tied up and laid on a wood. Proceed as it is. And so, when he plunges the knife about the plunges, now the angels stop him. Everything was set. Just imagine that, Abraham. You just think for a woman. Eh? The place where they went was totally deserted. Abraham had to build an altar. Build an altar. Just think about building an altar. Do you know that God built an altar for us? How can you ever meet God without Christ Jesus? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God built an altar for you to approach Him in Christ Jesus. Huh. But today, mankind, of course, they make their own altar. Huh? Isn't that right? They build one in the home, build one on the roadside, under a tree. They build their own altar to approach the Almighty. No. You see, God always provide everything. God provide everything. You know, you say, I provide for myself. You provide for yourself? You know, you got a husband and wife, when they split and divorce, says, I'm able to provide for myself. You know, the way they talk, you know. But you know what? We always believe that God provides for us. A job that God gives us is God provided. Oh, not because, I was a graduate in science and this and that. So you mean that this team will give you a job? You see, today's employee have a hard time getting a job. And everything that God we have in our hands, remember, it comes from God. Amen. Abraham went out there to save, to rescue his nephew. Do you think that he told the king it's all because of my might and my warriors, we are all great kung fu masters or something like that, that we beat and trash you people and we won? Not at all. And all that which came into Abraham, said he knew that it was God who provided all that. You read the book, Merlin Caracas, I believe in the power of praise, you know. It was up there in the Vietnam War, he went up there and all the enemy was shooting, the Vietcong was shooting. And somehow his body was shot and bullet didn't seem to be hitting him. God preserved his life. You know. And many times there are men that go out there to war, God spared their life and they jump into the foxhole and they start to have a foxhole prayer. It says, God forgive me if I'm a sinner, save me. They repent in the foxhole. They know that the battle is going to get them. And God give them the chance. You see. It's all God's grace. God provide. And so now the angel said, now I know, Abraham. Seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. You see, there was nothing mentioned about Ishmael. You know what I'm saying? You see, when God talks about His only son, He's not talking about Paul. He's not talking about Daniel. He don't bring Abraham into the picture. He don't bring Moses into the picture. Is that right? You know, when Christ took Peter, James, and John up to Mount Transfiguration, and a vision broke forth before them, and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured. And there was Moses came on side, and Aaron came on the other side. Oh, the disciples said, oh, let us build three tabernacles. And the voice of God says, listen to this one. Hear ye him. Huh? What are your interests of focusing here and focusing there? It was Christ who was transfigured, and then Moses and Aaron came. Just to verify, as the two witnesses to verify that he was the Christ Jesus in whom was the law, Jesus Christ, in whom was the law and the prophets. Moses and Elijah. You understand that? So we need to understand that when the whole theme of the Bible is about Christ Jesus. Not about a man, not about any other man. Okay? And of course, God provided a lamb, He did. The ram was caught in the thicker, and the horn in the thicker, and Abraham took him. And the Bible said, you see, It says that Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering instead of his son. You know, this was exactly what God provided for Cain. That was an offering standing before him. And God said, you take him, subjected to your will. What do you want to do with him? You know, he won't run away. And God and Abraham even took the ram, and Cain refused, and he could not just take that and offer it to God as a burnt offering. And you know what? When God provides, why do you want to refuse? Huh? Isn't it? It does like this. You know, when I go overseas, I learned, someone taught me a lesson. When I went overseas, and those poor folks, few times, you know, in India, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, even in Africa, those poor folks, they are not rich. They come up to me secretly and give me a little envelope, you know, and I know that those are money, you know. And sometimes they just put the money in their hand and give it to me. And I know that, sisters, you know, I don't need this. I think you need it more. I say, no, brother, you have to have this. And then, you know, a brother came up to me and whispered, "American, just take it. Because why? When you take it, they receive the blessing." Hallelujah. And I realized one thing. No matter how much we are better off, how much I'm better off than those poor brothers and sisters in our country, if they give me a little amount of money, I learn now to accept it. Because if God provided for the brother or sister, and he gave it to a minister of God, I should receive it with joy. Because they have the blessing. And that's why the joy is their giving. Because they receive from God, and we give it to God. And I believe that God provides, and you should be happy in receiving it. Now, I don't say that because that you give it to me. I'll be happy if you give it to me. You know, I'm saying that the fact that when God provides, take it. You don't say, "God, I don't need it." Really? Just take it. Because God's blessing to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the angel, and God, and Abraham called a plain Jehovah Jireh, and that is true. God will always provide. And the angel of the Lord came unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, the only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore." Remember this right now. Here God is changing the order. He put the seed, the stars first. Because you see what is important to God is a spiritual life. It's the spiritual seed. And true enough, it pointed, said the same thing, not all Israel are Israel. Not because they are circumcised, but those are circumcised in the heart. And they are Israel. Whether you be a white, black, Gentiles, whatever, even you're circumcised, you're part of the family of God. You see, so I will bless thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sun which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. Possess the gate. Remember, whenever you talk about gate in the Bible, gate means the place, the authority, the meeting place. Somebody, you know, in any city, you have to go through the gate to conquer. Or you scale the wall, you know, but if you can get into the gate, you conquer the city. You know that, don't you? Huh? Young people watch all this Lord of the Rings stuff, you know, all this fight and all, how everybody conquer, even your online game that you are playing, you got to go through the gate, you never scale the wall. And that's why ancient time they had these great wars, to keep the enemy out, you see, and keep the people safe. And the gate is the place that you only enter in and out. So, you see, Israel, Abraham was promised, that thy seed, not just Abraham, thy seed, alright, shall possess the gate of the enemies. You know? Yes, Christ possesses the gates of the enemy. And now we are the seeds, out of this seed, that die and bring forth much fruit. We too possess the gate. That's why sometimes, you know, we need to do exploit. We should be brave enough to go and do exploit. You know, and do what God wants us to do. To be able to believe in God. You see? Alright? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. He said, in thy seed, shall all the nations be blessed. Through all nations is where you find, well, in the world today, it's not possible for you not to find one race that there are no people believing in the gospel. You know that, don't you? So all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So that's where he came from. And it came to pass after this thing that it was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto your brother Nahor, whose is firstborn, and Bush, his brother, and Kumiel, the father of Aram, and Kishad, and Hazor, and Fadash, Yilab, and Beuelt, begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Rimah, he also bare Tabah, and Gahelm, and Tahash, and Maacah. Now that's a lot of children that were born to Nahor. Huh? Abraham only one. He has eight plus these other three from the concubine. Alright. Now here we have in chapter 23 the death of Sarah. Sarah was 127 years, and these are the years of the life of Sarah. By the time that Sarah died, Abraham is 137 years old. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah. Now, obviously, you know, when we look at the place where Sarah was buried, where he died. You know, as I said earlier on, the area where Abraham used to stay and move about is Beersheba and Hebron. Now, when the Bible looks at it, in verse 2, Abraham came to mourn for Sarah. It could be that somehow Abraham might be in this area when news reached him that Sarah passed away. You know. Or it could have been that, you know, in actually sometime in our, especially in Asia, when someone died, the mourning period can be for days. Huh? You know. So it could be that they just what came could mean to say that it was a period of time. But actually I feel that Abraham might have been in the south country and got the news that Sarah passed away. And Abraham stood up from before his dead wife, and spake unto the son of Heath. Now that's in Hebron. Abraham stood up and spake to the sons of Heath, the people that were there. I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heath answered Abraham, saying unto him, hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince. The word mighty prince only occurs once in this Bible here, and the word mighty means Elohim. Thou art a prince of God, that is to say. Actually, it should be better translated. Not mighty in the sense of a strong man or what, but as a mighty in the sense of a Elohim. Thou art a prince of God among us. In the choice of our sepulchre, bury your dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou may bury thy dead. Just imagine Abraham came from the north and then came all the way down here and dwelt among the people for some 40, 50 years already. And the people love him. The people look at him. Wow. The kind of life Abraham lived. You see? And he said, let me have a place to bury. He told the people there in Hebron. He said, just bury wherever you want to choose. Any place. Now these are Hittites. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, and even to the children of Heath. And he communed with them, saying, if it is If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he has, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for the possession of burying place among you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of the heath. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham, the audience of the children of heath, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I you, and the cave that is therein, I give it to you. In the presence of the sons of my people, I give it thee, bury thy dead. Now, of course, when you read the Bible here, you may think that it took place someplace, and Abraham told the people, well, I want you to go and talk to Ephron. You know, I want his cave there. And the people went and talked to him, and he came. No, he's not there. All this thing happened is at the gate of the city. Abraham went up there to the gate. That's the only place. You know what I mean? You know, Abraham, Sarah passed away in the home. So only place to talk to the people is always at the gate. Remember, the meeting place is always at the gate. There will be elders sitting at the gate. All the transaction being done is always at the gate. So he went there at the gate, and there were elders there. The people listened to him. People started to come together at this gate and listen. And he began to tell the people, I need a place to bury my wife, dead wife. And the people said, you bury where you want. He said, no, I want a particular place, the cave that belongs to Ephron of Zohar. You know, and treat him to give it to me. And then standing among the people, Ephron was right there. The Bible said Ephron dwell among the children, verse 10 of Heath. Dwell, where would dwell, to many people means lived. The word dwell means sit also. Now, don't read the English word and argue with me. Huh? Sometimes the English word, that's why a lot of Americans always write in and say, that's what the Bible says. I say, you're looking at an English word that's been translated with so many meaning in one words. You see, Ephron was right there. And Abraham, of course, perhaps did not notice among the people. Ephron stood up and says, and answer Abraham in the audience of the children of the heath. You see that? He was right there. And this audience. So take the land. Take it. Take it. You don't have to pay me. Take it. You know, Abraham then said to Ephron, bowed again and spoke to Ephron in verse 13. If you will give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give you the money for the field. Take it of me. And I will bury my dead there. Ephron answered Abraham, say unto him, my lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels and of silver. What is that between you and me? Bury your dead. Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham went to Ephron the silver which he had named in the audience of the son of Heath, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the border round about, were made sure. Now one thing, of course, you're sure that Abraham, you know, don't owe no man nothing. Because this land, it belongs to those people who live there. Is that right? So you know, when Abraham was wealthy, he purchased the land. He buy this, he buy that, he own this well, he own that well. Huh? You understand that? So there's one way is to secure the deal. To make the place sure, the cave sure, is to pay the full sum. Rather than later on turn around, you never know what happened around. Oh, I give Abraham this piece of cave. You know what I mean? This land, that land, it's better that you can afford it. Give the sum to the person who owned the thing. Alright? And unto Abraham for the possession in the presence of children of Heath before all that went in the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre. The same is Hebron in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein will make sure unto Abraham for the possession of a burying place for the sons of Heath, by the sons of Heath. Now, as I said early on, according to scripture later on, you discover every one of the patriarchs and matriarchs were buried here except for Rachel, who was buried in Bethlehem. You see, and I said, where was Ishmael buried? Ishmael was never buried in any part of this land called Canaan. He was buried somewhere in Shur, what, how do you pronounce the word? I find it hard to pronounce. Shur. Shur. You know, the pronunciation could be a little difficult. From that area, all Havilah could be down as far south as Yemen, and even as far north, some people say it's up there in Iraq area. So Havilah can, you know, it's not quite easily placed because it seems to be quite a big place here and there, where the children of Ham that live in those area here and there. Okay, now let's go to the next chapter, and we'll finish with this next chapter about this chosen bride. Now Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, "Put, I pray thee, thy hand up under my thigh." Now who is this servant? We all know his name is Eliezer. Now Eliezer was the son of a servant that Abraham purchased when he came down from the north. And he bought his son, bought the servant somewhere would be, where is Damascus? Well, you know where Damascus is up there? I don't think you can see Damascus. No. Damascus. You alright? You know Damascus? Okay. He came down through Syria, and Damascus is in Syria, and so he bought a servant from Damascus. And it was, Eliezer was the son of this servant. Alright? So, after the servant passed away, the son took over the duty. And Eliezer has, since Abraham had no heir at that time, at 65 years old, right? He had no heir. So all the years a young man grew up, he took him and treat him like a son. And so on, so you know that he told God early on, I don't have any heir except this one. You know, you treat someone so good. Have you heard story about rich man who loved someone who's not his son? And when he passed away, he got nobody else, no brother, no sister, no mother, no children. He gave all the wealth to the son. This thing happens. You see? And Eliezer was such a faithful servant that Abraham could trust. And he gave him full controls of all the other servants, of all his wealth. Abraham perhaps did not go and bother to count how much money he had. Huh? How much money he has in his warehouse, or in his storeroom, or his little secret place. No, he doesn't. You see, he left it to Eliezer to take care. If you want to find out how much wealth you have, Eliezer, give me a car, how much I have. Eliezer will bring all the record books and everything. Oh, you got so many thousand cows, so many thousand sheep, so many thousand goat and donkeys and ass and camels and And you have so many servants, and so many servants have so many children. He won't be able to give all the account. And Eliezer will not pay for a cent. You see? That's a faithful servant. Huh? So now, Eliezer, please come here. Put your hand under my tie. Put your hand under my tie. What is it about the tie? What's so special about the tie? Well, the tie is where, what we call the strength. The whole body is supported actually by the thigh, the hip, this whole area is called the thigh. From your hip down to your knees are the thigh. And this is where the strength, and you always talk about genealogy, your descendant. You understand? And also a faithfulness when you sworn. So, it's always this thigh issue. But today, of course, a different thing. In those days, just a custom. And I'll make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanite among whom I dwell. Don't you ever take a wife for my son now. And how old is Abraham now? Well, about 140 years old. About that. Yeah. His wife died at 127, and he's 137. So this probably could have been, after 2 or 3 years, we do not know. Huh? So don't you take a wife. I'm old now. And thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son, Isaac. Go back to my people there. On my own kind. That's why here we see from the beginning that the important thing is that you don't want to marry someone that God forbids. Someone who is a Canaanite of the wrong kind of genes, wrong kind of people, go back to your own kind. Marry among your own kind. You see. Alright? And so, the servant said unto him, what about peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land? But thou need bring thy son again unto the land from when thou came. And Abraham said unto him, beware that you bring not my son hither again. Now this is something Abraham definitely make sure that Elijah don't do it. Don't go back. What did the song we sing? Don't look back from where you came. You know? Don't bring Isaac back there. Take the wife from there for him. Don't bring him back. You see, what we have is a message to get people out, not go, let people go back again. You see, when we come out of denomination, don't try to go back to denomination and save them. Huh? Because God never asked you to go, when God says come out, He didn't say, go back there and try to tell them. No. You don't go back to something that you have left. You see. It's the Son of God that preached the word. Abraham just did that. Those that came out of Abraham's message to get to start the church. And Abraham would be invited to this place, that place, and he preached. But don't bring the people you that have brought out, God said, and bring it back. Huh. You see, what comes first? I always say this. I asked this question before. There's love, there's truth. Which one comes first? Do you remember now, or are you still confused? What comes first? Love comes first, or truth comes first? Come on. Which one comes first? Come on now. What? How many of you say love? How many of you say truth? How many of you say love? You know what? Truth comes first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was begotten, and the Word was God. You see, if there was no Word, there was no expression of God's love. Don't you agree? It was the Word that was made manifest, and the love was shown. So, it is love that will follow truth. Not truth for the love. The whole world has all kinds of love. Ecumenical love. All kinds of love, but do they have the truth? You have Buddhism, love in Buddhism. Buddhists have love. Hindu have love. All kind of religions have love. But where is there truth in this love? But when you have truth, love will follow. Huh? Love proceed out of truth. Love proceed out from the Word of God. If God does not create anything, how do you find love? Nothing. Because the Bible, they said the first thing that came out of God was, in the beginning was the Word. So Word came first. Then, the love of God was shown in creation. You see that spiral, everything right here. I think God laid out so well that just look at it a bit and we see it. And so don't you take truth back to find love in the place that it shouldn't be. Get the love to follow the truth. So Elijah said, okay, I'm going to talk about truth now. So he went and preached truth to them. That's what Brother Bram did. He went and preached truth. He didn't talk about love, love, love. Or what the ecumenical love, ecumenism is all about, is all this love that is not true. He preached the truth. When you see the truth, you see the love of God. Yes, you want me to come out and fall in love with the Word. And he said, go out and take a bride for Isaac. Someone who have never seen Isaac. Have you seen Isaac before we met him? Have we seen our Isaac before we met him? No. Before we are wedded to him, all, so to speak. Someone comes in and talk about Jesus, and I like the song or that goes, you tell me his name again. The missionary went to a country and talked and preached about the gospel. And people hear the name of Jesus, and hear about this woman. What about this Jesus? Oh my, about what he had done. You know? And he was meditating, I did forgot that name. The missionary went off. He was chased after the missionary. Please tell me his name again. Please tell me his name again. You know, that was when the truth comes out. You know, there is this love of God flooding in the heart because the Spirit of God begins to work. You know. And the Lord of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, and that thou swear me, saying, unto thy seed I will give this land. He shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife unto my son from thence. But if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son hither again. Brother Branham, the son of God, you went and preached. You know what? If nobody followed the truth, Brother Branham not to be blamed. You see what? If I tell you the truth again, the same thing, if I tell you the truth, and you don't follow it, I'm not to be blamed. Because the blood is on your head, not mine, not on my hand. You see? Now I'm talking about the seriousness of the hour that we have and the truth that we have. You see, God wants to have a standard in the truth of the word that people come to it, follow according to what is laid down in scriptures. Not everybody do what they think is right in their own eyes. You know? And my responsibility to do just that. Lay the scripture down in line, and that's all I know what to do, I give it to you. That's my responsibility because I'm told to do it. Like Elizabeth was told to do it. And if I'm saying it's no longer your responsibility if she will not follow you. You know. But don't you bring my son back to the land. And the servant put his hand under the thighs of Abraham his master and swore to him a calling concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels. He took 10 camels. You see, he just took 10 camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he begged his camel to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. Oh, I like that. Evening time, there shall be light. Huh? Isn't it wonderful? See? And you know why he went there? He prays, "Oh Lord, God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee." You know that he was a Syrian. Huh? One from Damascus. You got to be a Syrian. So all I know. See, he wasn't a Jew. He doesn't know the God of Abraham. But he learned the God of Abraham. He saw all that was going on. And now he worshipped Abraham, I believe. And now he says, "Oh God of my master Abraham." And which God do we worship? The one that Abraham worshipped. We can say, "Oh Heavenly Father, God of Abraham. You hearken to him, hearken to us." You know, it's not the one that started with the A. Huh? There is one God, there is no other God but Yahweh. Not Krishna. Not Kali. Not Ah. Whatever. Huh? No, all these things, you see. Isn't it true? Huh. All we can say is, Baruch Atah Adonai. Blessed be the God, our God. We don't say any other thing. We can say, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Eliezer prayed. "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city came out to draw water. And it came to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, 'Lay down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink,' and she said, 'Drink, and I will give thy camel drink also. And let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master.'" Oh, my dear Eliezer, you know, you are going out there to find a wife for your master's son. How are you going to do it? But don't you know, if Abraham tends to go back to do, I mean, to go to his homeland to do it, he do it. And he knows that, okay, God, this God of Abraham blessed Abraham, so I'm going to ask the same God to do the same for my master. That's the only thing I know. You see? And he prayed, and sincerely he prayed. You know, he put a fleece before God. If this thing happened, I know. He asked for this thing. I'm at a well here now, and I'm just waiting, and here this evening time is the time when woman comes out to drink water. Why woman take water? How come the man is not doing it? He said, that's life. The woman have draw water, the husband probably out in the field coming back from all the work. You say, but anyway, today's women are very capable. Isn't it? So you know, that's what it is. In those days, the women are more capable. You know that? They do all the household chores without grumbling. They raise children up, 3, 4, 5, or 6, and 1 dozen, all crying, you know, you have to breastfeed this one, you have to give milk to this one, and feed that one. And the husband is out there in the field doing all the work, and doesn't know what happened. Isn't it? The husband comes to the house today, honey. Ah! You know, this is what happened! You know? And you know what? Those days, the women are tough. Here we have today, everything is modern technology. What they are capable of? Making money. And not about the society anymore. It's the whole world is turning upside down. And so much so, you know, we Christian people, we got to need to know how to live simply and be in tune with God. Amen. So now here came a lady. Now, you know the story goes. Rebecca came along. And here Eliza says, could you put down your pitcher and give me a drink of water? Sure, I will give this drink. And then I will go and give water to your camel. Oh my, when that was done, Eliza must be having a great time. Oh my, look at that, everything is happening right here. You know? And then in verse 22, and it came to pass that the camel done drinking, that the man took a golden earring. That's what the Bible tells you, earring. Huh? Now that's not what the original say. It's not a earring. Not a earring. But it's a Hebrew word they call nizam. And nobody knows how the word, what's the meaning actually behind this word. Alright? But some translate nose ring, because later on in the same passage of same chapter, it was said that the ring was put on the nose of Rebecca. Now, one of the things is that people think that it was a nose ring. Could be on the ear, on the side of the nose, or in the center. But if you ever seen some old picture, they have this kind of a necklace thing with something that tie here, just hanging above the nose here. You know, the forehead of the nose. So, a lot of people, nobody knows the actual usage of the word. You see, it's a jewelry that is, it's something to do with this face. You know? And of course, some people think that it's earring. It is not. Some people say nose ring. Nobody knows. Or is it a ring that is left on the head, you know, hanging here above the nose. Now, these are the custom and the culture of the people in Mesopotamia. You understand that? And Abraham came from that place. Why is it not a earring? Obviously because the Ishmaelites are the ones that wear the earring. The men. Do you understand that? Huh? You see? So, whatever custom was practiced in Mesopotamia in those times, it's a custom. And when we come down to the Christian era, the custom of the church is different from the custom of the world. Amen? Alright. So he gave of half shekel of weight. Now, half shekel is very little. It's about $1 to $8, depends on how we look at it. But in those days, it must be quite a lot of amount. You understand, don't you? Like, for example, $1 back in the 60s. Oh my. You know how big $1 is in those days? For cost, already 20 cents could get you a plate of nice wonton meat. Wonton noodle, huh? Remember? He said, today you have to pay $2.50 for a lousy plate. Compare us to 20 cents in those days was so masarap, delicious, isn't it? So a lot of different. And also for her hand, a brace, 2 bracelets of 10 shekel weight of gold. And I asked her, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And he said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which he bore unto Nahor. So, but you know who Rebecca is now? She is the daughter of Isaac's cousin. You got it? So, Isaac did not marry a cousin. Married a cousin's daughter. Betua is the cousin. Or niece. Sorry, niece, not cousin. Cousin's daughter is right. I call it cousin's daughter. Yeah, cousin's daughter. So it's a niece. Cousin niece. You call that cousin niece? Well, I won't know. Or cousin's niece. Alright? And said unto him, we have both straw and provident enough and room to lodge in. And man bowed down his head and worshipped God. And said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master Abraham, of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them, the whole family, her mother's house, these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well, and came to pass when he saw the ring and the bracelet upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camel at the well. He says, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, why do you stand out there? For I have prepared a house and room for the camel. So Eliezer came into the house and ungirded his camel and gave straw and provender for the camel and water to wash his feet and the man that followed with him. Now Eliezer took with him 10 camels, but also a few other servants that were with him because there are 10 camels. So he did not go alone. You understand? And so the story goes, as we all know, they sit down and just talk about things and Eliezer recite all the things that happened. What happened, and what happened when he came to the well, just had he had, you know, prayed to the Lord, and Betua, Laban, heard all these things. Oh, good, good, very good. And now, in verse 50, then Laban and Betua answered and said, the thing you said proceed from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard this word, he worshipped the Lord, bowed himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah, and gave her also to her brother and to her mother's precious thing. You know, when Eliezer told everything to the family, and they approved that they could have Rebekah, take her back. You know, Eliezer's meeting was to worship the Lord. You know, it was a shameless, you know, a worship in front of them. He bowed himself and thanked the Lord, and they observed that this man was someone who feared the Lord. You know what we think about letting your daughter follow a stranger? How would you feel? Do you want to let her daughter follow a stranger? But he was one. They discerned about this man was one who really, you know, feared the Lord is not somebody that we cannot trust. You know, and they give them all the jewel and all this, and also a raiment. This raiment is a Hebrew word, beget. It means to say it's a wedding garment. The garment, a ordinary garment, but it's one that is suited for a wedding. It's not fine linen or anything. That's a wedding gift. And so what happened? They eat and they drink, and the man were with him and tarry all night, and they rose up in the morning. And Eliezer said, send me away unto my master. And you know, Laban and the mother said, well, let Rebekah stay for another 10 days. You know, sometimes very hard to separate, huh? To let your daughter go far away to a land and never going to see her maybe for a long time. And somehow Eliezer said, please don't hinder me. Alright, we'll call the damsel and inquire her mouth. And verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, would you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She didn't say, maybe I'll think about it. You know, they say, the Bible tells us to come out of her, my people. Come into Christ. Come out of this worry system. Come out of your sin. Follow the truth. And would you go with the man, Jesus? Would you go with the man? Someone you have been introduced, you know, whom you have never met. Rebekah heard all the things that was going on said by Eliezer. And all the time that Elisha spoke all the thing about Abraham and Isaac, she knew that there's something special. You know? And I believe in those days, those women does not simply go out there, this man and that man, and this man and that man. There are people who treasure chastity. No man would touch a woman's hand. No woman would touch a man's hand. Those are simply just to touch. You know, we shake hands, huh? In those days, they don't shake hands. You know? And in Asia, many times, you know, they count out. You know, they bow from the waist down. Huh? Isn't it? You go to Japan, they still do it today. Yeah, American come, they're like, how are you? And put a hand out. And then they will hug each other. But of course, in the Jewish later on, the man hug the man, huh? Kiss his left cheek, kiss his right cheek. And, but the woman, they don't do that. You see? And, what a wonderful thing is to know that here we have Rebecca listening to all that about Abraham the father, about Isaac the son. Yes, I will go. Maybe as such a servant like this, the master must be treating him well. I mean, all these things must have gone on in her mind to know all this. And say, I will go without hesitation. Wow, isn't that something? Never met the man, you know. Because all those days, the matchmaking was by matchmaker. You see. But today's whole world is different. And they send away Rebecca, the sister, and her nurse. Someone who take care of her when she was young. So she was, this nurse would be like a mother to her. And also other damsel, other companion servants that went along with Rebecca. And these are wealthy family, you know. Okay, they are not poor people. And Abraham's servants and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Wow. You know, what a great blast, pronunciation of blessing. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Wow. Sounds possible, huh? Yeah, possible. You see, the descendant of Rebecca came out to be millions. Wow, what a blessing. And of course, this is more of a pronouncing. I believe the Spirit of the Lord that get these things to be said. Because God already promised Abraham. Is that right? You see, and to Isaac's seed. And here was a woman that came along. And God touched the lips of Laban and the family there to speak this. And Rebekah arose, and the damsel and the road upon the camel and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now this is betrothal. This betrothal is binding already. You know, the family accept that Rebekah should be married to Isaac. So it's already binding. And Isaac came up from the way of the well. You know how far the journey is? Look at the outside world. You know where Haran is, don't you? Now, that is Haran. That's the place where Abraham stayed when they came out from Ur of Chaldea, and they went all the way stay up here, remember? And lived there. Now, from Beersheba all the way up here is about 800 kilometers. 800 kilometers! You know how many days it takes to travel? 800 kilometers, of course you drive a car, it would take about one day, 12 hours. Huh? But those days, you are traveling on camel, over dry land, over bad terrain. You may travel 80 kilometers a day, or you may not even. You know? You understand? So it takes about maybe 10 to 2 weeks by the time you reach back to the south country. This is the south country. It's a long way. A long way. And so all the way, and you know, Elisha probably talked to Rebecca about Isaac, the God, tell him all that story. You know, and God sent us an Elisha, Brother Branham. Huh? And all that the word that he preached, here is where we get to listen First time we came to the marriage, we listen and then learn more. Then we come into the marriage. That's what we look at. You understand that? The message was to bring us to the Word. The message, Eliezer was sent from here, Bathsheba, all the way to Haran, take a bride, to bring him, her back to here for Isaac. And the journey ends right here. The journey did not continue. It ends right here in the marriage. Now the marriage is between Rebecca and Isaac. Now let's read this as we close. And Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahairoah, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening tide, and lifted up his eye and saw, and behold, the camel were coming. Now why did Isaac go out there in evening time and meditate? Because his mother passed away. And he is still very sorrowful because, you know, the mother's gone. And in fact, he used his mother's tent. Always go to his mother's tent. You know, because the children live one in their own tent. They don't live in the parents' tent. Now that they are adults. So he went out there in the evening at the sunset. You know, evening time again, evening time. And so, Rebecca lit up her eyes and saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel. When she saw the man, she said, "Who is that man, Eliezer?" "That's your master." Immediately she lighted off. The word lighted off, I tell you many times. She, in her head, she get up, literally almost stumbled. Because was excited, very excited. Think about it, huh? A man you never met, a man you're going to get married, that's your master. Oh, my! Put the veil and quickly jump off and she almost fell off. Literally, the word means that. Oh, so excited. You know, the first time I remember, maybe a little bit embarrassed, but I tell you this. When I was in love with Tracy the first time, my mind was somewhere else. I fell into a dream. I literally fell into a dream. You know? And so this is about what it is. And all the journey of 10 or 2 weeks, you know. Everything is about the man, about Isaac, Isaac. So excited. She light off the camel and almost fell. And she took the veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. No, when they come up to here to Bathsheba, when Rebecca and Isaac met, Eliezer had given all the report to Isaac. Then what happened? Eliezer took the camel back to the stable, isn't it? And as I always tell all these brothers of mine, can't you ever see the story in here? When the man finishes his work, the camel is to go and take a bride back. Carry all the jewelry and all the gold and all, whatever, the raiment, to get a bride. Then bring her back on this camel train. And now the servant had done his work, report to the master, here is one. Here is your bride. Is that right? Introduce him and her to each other. And Eliezer said, "Master, no, I finished my work. I'm gone." To the camel train, to the camels. Where do you think he go? Huh? He went into the stable without that camel. And that's the end of the story. You never heard of Eliezer anymore. Come on, welcome, brother Mites. Can't you see the simplicity of all these types and shadows and patterns when God wants to show it to you? It's all not about Eliezer. And the Bible tells us, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And she was comforted. It's because she became the wife now. So there's someone now for companion. The Bible says she became the wife. That was a Cooper. And I said this, when Isaac and Sarah and Rebecca went to the tent, what do you think happened in there? Isaac looking into the face of Rebecca. They look at each other. You know what I mean? Adoring each other. Loving each other. I don't think anybody say anything because you get to know each other. You know? And Rebecca just admire Isaac. And they speak all the sweet nothing stuff. You know what I'm talking about? to each other and they make love and they were married. You know what? If you ever, if anybody come and tell me that Rebecca said to Isaac, Eliezer said this, Eliezer said that, Eliezer said this, Eliezer said that. Oh, Isaac, I mean. I mean, Eliezer said that, that's right. Eliezer to Isaac. You know, what do you think Isaac will feel? Here's a man that you're marrying, and you're talking about my servant who took you to me. Who is more important? Our Christ, our Isaac? Or is it William Marion Branham, the servant of God? That's why when we enter into Kupa, it's another dimension altogether. You understand? The journey has ended. Now they have entered Kupa in a different dimension. There's a lot of Christians that come up into out of the world, into the gospel, have never entered into a dimension. They never enter into the realm that they should be in. When we come into the truth, it's a different realm. You know, it's a journey altogether now, a new journey with Isaac in the tent. An entirely different atmosphere altogether. And that's when the mystery of God is unfolding itself to the one who is now the voice of the archangel. The one who is now the master. Not the servant of the master, but the master himself. And I pray that we understand this. That first of all, in coming off, first what we have is a sacrifice. You know that, don't you? If there is no sacrifice, there is no bride. I want you to know that. You see the story present itself? Did you think so? Except a corn of wheat died, it will not bring forth much fruit. If I, the Son of Man, be raised up, be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Got it? Huh? That's why Isaac was to be a sacrifice. And God provided the lamb. I didn't listen to what I'm saying. Isaac was to be a sacrifice. But God provided the lamb. You understand? And all that sacrifice, then the bride now is presented to Isaac. If our Isaac is not willing to get to be sacrificed, he would not get a bride. He wouldn't be here, and I wouldn't be here this morning. Hallelujah. That's for sure. Types and shadows all the way through, never fail. God bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Oh, for the truth, Lord, unfold before us in this hour. For the many things that we see, Lord. We are encouraged, Father, by what you have given us. Help us, Lord, to continue on the journey. With all sincerity and integrity of our hearts, Father. To be fully in love with our Isaac. Our heavenly Isaac. For Lord, it is in him that was willing to take up the cross. That he willingly, Lord, lifted up on his shoulder. Or it was you, Father, we know, that you have so ordained it. And you have, like Abraham, put the wound upon the shoulder of Isaac to carry. And so did our Isaac carry that. And in that, Father, he carried all our burdens and our sins away. And we are very thankful, Lord, that he was willing to be a willing sacrifice. And out of that, Father, a bride is given. And we are very thankful too, Lord, that you have made us all, called us all, Lord, to be a part of that beautiful bride for our Master and our Lord. And Father, we thank you. We bless thy holy name. Help us to walk continually, Lord, in the light now. Bless all, Lord, in all that we are in our sincerity towards you, and to what, Lord, we could do as from the bottom of our hearts, Father, because of the love that you've given us toward you, Lord. And we love you because you first love us. So let us all just be just that, Father, in close relationship to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you.